Let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to the Gospel of Luke. Luke's Gospel, chapter 14, please. Luke's Gospel, chapter 14. I want to preach to you this morning from a passage of Scripture that I've preached from before. It is not the same sermon. I think it was about 18 years ago I preached from this passage of Scripture to you, so I don't expect that you'd remember it. But there is one thing that is going to be basically the same, because you can't change the passage of Scripture. So at least one thing that will be the same. But in 18 years, we practically have a whole new church anyway, right? That's pretty much true. So if you were here 18 years ago, you won't remember. So it'll be all right. All right. So I think we're good this morning. I want to begin reading in verse 25. Verse 25. So if you will follow along in your Bible, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 14. And if you need a Bible, there should be one in the hymn rack in front of you. You may feel free to use it. And I'll begin reading in verse 25. Verse 25 says, "And there went great multitudes with him. And he turned and said unto them, If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple." Now, that's a little harsh, isn't it? Would you say that's a little harsh? I can imagine these folks were shocked when he said that. Now, look again at verse 25. There's a big heap of people following him. There's a lot of folks. When the Bible says multitude, well, that's a lot. But when it makes it multitudes, that's even more. And so here is this throng of people, and they're following the Lord Jesus. And he turns and says to them, if you're going to be my disciple, you got to hate your mother and your father and your brother and your sister. Now, I probably wouldn't have had too much of a problem with that last part there. Now, I'm joking about that. Of course you love your mother and you love your father and you love your brother most of the time. And you love your sister most of the time. All right, but I mean, this is pretty strong language, don't you think? And he said, if you don't hate your father, mother, wife, children, brethren, sisters, even your own life, then you cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Bear your cross? You know, the cross was a Roman thing. It wasn't a Jewish thing. The cross was brutal. Oh, it was a horrible way to die. It was suffering beyond comprehension. Sometimes folks hung on the cross for a couple of weeks before they finally died. Just a horrible way to have to suffer in death. And then I want you to notice verse 28. In verse 28, the Lord completely shifts gears. After making these severe conditions for discipleship, he says in verse 28, it's almost like he could see their faces. And it's almost like he could tell that they were just blown away by what he just said about the severity of his conditions for discipleship. And so he gives two parables in verse 28. He said, "For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him." saying, this man began to build, but was not able to finish it. And then here's the second parable, verse 31. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000. So folks, notice in both of these parables, the Lord Jesus is talking about weighing the situation, evaluating the situation. He's talking about weighing the cost, counting the cost before you go to do something. He said, which one of you is going to build a tower, and you would build a tower as a luxury? Okay, your intent is you've got a house and you're gonna put a wall around your house and put a tower up, a watchtower, and that would be a luxury. And he's basically asking, who would do something like that without first counting up the cost to make sure he could afford to do it? And then he said, who among you, what king would sit there and think to himself, well, I'm going to go fight against this other king, but what king would not first count the cost of going to war before he went to war? So that's the purpose. He said in verse 32, speaking of the king, he said, or else while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. And so likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. All right, let's pray together. And then I want us to look at this passage of Scripture. And I'm going to entitle the sermon this morning, Building and Battling. Building and Battling. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. And I pray that you will bless the Word of God that is about to be preached here this morning. We are so thankful that we have a Bible. And we're thankful that your Word is inspired of heaven. This is not man's word, this is your word. And so I pray that it will be profitable to our hearts this morning. May you give each one of us understanding of what we're about to hear. And Lord, not just understanding, but the ability to apply the Scriptures to our own hearts. And then may we leave here this morning rejoicing in what we have learned and how you have spoken and drawn us close to yourself. Father, fill me with your Spirit this morning and help me as I speak. I need your help, and I just pray that you will bless the word to our hearts today. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. The Lord Jesus is near the end of his earthly ministry. He is now on his way to Jerusalem. And when he gets there, he will stay for a week and then will end up on the cross at Calvary. He has this huge crowd of people who are following him. He is up in Galilee and he's making his way down to Judah, down to Jerusalem, and there he's going to the cross. And this huge crowd is following. They are a zealous crowd. They are ready for whatever. They have been with him now for weeks. They have been watching him perform miracle after miracle. They have heard his great sermons. They have watched all the folks get healed of their diseases and their illnesses. And they are just right there with him. They are hoping that as the day progresses, maybe they will see him again, expose the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. Oh, they loved it when he did that. He would take those Pharisees and just wrap them up in knots and just hang them in a tree for the whole world to see their hypocrisy. And they were waiting for maybe another round of that to take place. They were ready to identify with him. They were excited about about everything that they watched him do. And it was at that point in verse 25, when he turned around knowing that he was on his way to Jerusalem. And it is right there that he turned and said to them what I don't think any of them were expecting to hear come out of his mouth. In verse 26 and 27, he said, if any man come to me and hate not his father and his mother and his wife and his children and his brethren and his sisters, yea, his own life, he cannot be my disciple. In verse 26, he said, whosoever doth not bear his cross cannot come after me and be my disciple. Now, folks, I'm telling you, they weren't expecting that. That shocked them beyond measure. If he had turned and said, you follow me and I will make you rich and powerful, that's probably what they were expecting to hear. Not, you got to hate your mother and father and brother and sister. They were never expecting that. The cross was the most brutal means of execution there was. And the Lord is saying, if you're not willing to go to the cross, then you cannot be my disciple. Oh my, they were shocked by this. They were probably standing there thinking, how can I hate the people that brought me into this world? How could I hate the people that love me so much and love me unconditionally? Lord, why so harsh? Why are you making this so difficult on us? Can you see all of these people standing there in total shock at our Lord's words? And I'm sure that probably some of them were thinking, Master, we love you and we've been following you for weeks and months now, and we believe that you are the Messiah sent from God. But why are you asking us to do such difficult tasks in order to be a disciple? Can't you make this a little easier on us? But now watch carefully here, folks. The Lord Jesus knew at the end of verse 27, the Lord Jesus knew that they were shocked. And that is why he gave the two parables that follow in verse 28 through verse 32. The Lord Jesus was not surprised that they did not understand what he was asking, what he was saying. He was not shocked by that. So knowing that they were shocked, he gave these two parables that are found in verse 28 through verse 32. Now look carefully at them for just a moment. In verse 28, 29, and 30, the Lord, 28 through 30, the Lord Jesus gave a parable about a man building a tower. And then in verse 31 and 32, he gave a parable about a king going to battle. Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take a pen and in the margin of your Bible, outside of verse 28 and 29 and 30, I want you to write the little word building. B-U-I-L-D-I-N-G, building. Verse 28 and 29 and 30 is about building. And then I want you to take your pen and outside of verse 31 and 32, I want you to write the word battling. Battling. That's the parable about the king going to battle. So we've got two parables, one about building and one about battling. Now, here's the question. Why did the Lord Jesus give these two parables? Folks, listen very carefully. In both parables, the main point Christ is making is that the man building the building in verse 28 to 30 and the king fighting the battle in verse 31 and 32 is to count the cost before he builds and before he goes to battle. That is the whole point of each parable. If you are going to build a tower, are you not going to count up the labor cost and the cost of the materials and make sure that you have enough money to build the tower before you start the job? Well, of course you are. If you're a king and you're going to battle against another country and against another army, are you not going to count your soldiers and make sure that you have enough manpower to go against your enemy? And the answer is, of course you are. A man would be a fool who would say, I'm going to build a tower without knowing that he could do it. A man would be a fool who would say, I'm going to go fight against this nation if he did not first know that he had enough firepower and men to fight against that other nation. And so when we read this, I think sometimes we don't understand it and we get confused because we ask ourselves, we think that this is saying that you and I are supposed to count the cost. Folks, that's not so. You and I are not supposed to count the cost. You say, well, Pastor, who is counting the cost here? Are you and I supposed to count the cost before we serve the Lord, before we become a disciple? Of course not. You and I are to follow the Lord at any cost. Amen. Nowhere in the scripture, there is not one place in all of the Bible that tells us that we are to count the cost before following Christ. As a matter of fact, in another place, the Lord Jesus said, if your right hand offends you, cut it off. He said, if your right eye offends you, pluck it out. For it is better to go into heaven maimed than to end up in hell with two good hands and two good eyes. You see, that hardly sounds like you and I are to count the cost of being a disciple. So if you and I are not supposed to count the cost, who is? Who is? And I'm here today to tell you that the Lord Jesus is the one who is counting the cost. They're asking, why are your terms so severe? Why is this so difficult? Why are you making it so hard? I'm telling you why, folks. The reason is because he is the builder and he is the battler. He's the one that's building his kingdom. And he is the one who is fighting against the devil and against the principalities and powers of the air. And so he wants to make sure that those who come into his kingdom and those who are with him and are his disciples, he wants to make sure that they are in it to win it. He wants to make sure that those that come are going to stick with the building until the building gets built, and they're going to stay in the battle until the war is won. Nod your head. Do you understand that? So he's not telling us to count the cost. He's saying he's counting the cost to make sure that those that come in to his kingdom are going to get the job done. He is appealing for these folks to put themselves in his place. Put yourself in my place, he is asking. Why? Because he's the builder and he's the warrior. He's the builder and he's the warrior. Now, there are three things I want you to see from this passage of scripture. Number one, we see here our Lord's conception, his understanding of his own work in the world. We see from this that the Lord Jesus understands what His work is in this world. He is showing them, and so He's showing us because it's in the Bible for our benefit, but He is showing them and us His plan for the ages. He's showing us what the Christian life is all about. And folks, do you know what the Christian life is all about? You ready? I'm going to simplify it for you. It's about two things, building and battling. Building and battling. You get saved, the Lord wants to build you. He wants you to grow. He wants you to read His Word. You see, before you were saved, you didn't get anything out of the Bible, did you? The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, Paul said. I remember before I was saved, I would read the Bible and I'd go, I don't understand this. But then after I got saved, I started understanding the Bible. Why does God want to build you? Because you are a disciple. And He wants you to build. He wants you in church. He wants you growing. He wants you serving. That's building in your Christian life. And then whenever there's building involved, mark it down, the devil's going to be fighting and battling has to take place. And that's what the Christian life is all about. Man, we spend our time building and battling and building and battling. And He gives these harsh conditions for discipleship. And they protest over their severity. And so He gives them these two parables to explain to them why His conditions are so severe. But in so doing, He is appealing for them to put themselves in His place. Don't forget, you and I are not supposed to count the cost. You and I are never to count the cost. We are to follow and serve the Lord no matter what it might cost us. So what's He doing? Well, He's asking them to put themselves in His place. Why? Because He is the builder and He is the warrior. He says to them, you protest over the severity of my terms, but put yourself in my place. Suppose you were going to build a building. Would you not count the cost to make sure you had enough money to finish it? Suppose you were going out to battle principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. Would you not be really careful with the quality of the warriors that you called into your army? And I believe the Lord Jesus is, that this is what the Lord Jesus is saying. He is saying, my terms for followers are severe because I want men and women and teenagers and children as disciples who will stand by my side until the building is built and the battle is won. I don't need followers who are going to quit halfway through the building process. I don't need disciples who are going to turn tail and run when the battle gets tough. I need folks who will stick by the stuff and will build until the building is complete and will fight until the battle is won. You see, folks, that's what the Lord's work is all about. It's all about building and battling. Hold your place right here and go back to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 16 for just a moment. Matthew chapter 16. Is everybody following me all right? Are you awake? All right. Matthew 16. Look at your Bible. Let's just let the Bible help us here, okay? Look at your Bible. In verse 13, it says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ. You know what Peter was saying there? Christ is Messiah. Thou art the Messiah, the one promised in the Old Testament, the anointed one. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. Bar means the son of. So blessed are you, Simon, the son of Jonah. For flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Now watch. And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will what? Build my church. Folks, you want to know what the Christian life is all about? It's about building. He said, I will build my church. Watch now. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Oh, the gates of hell are going to try, but they'll not prevail against it. You've got building and battling. This is the conflict. This is the fight. You see, God saves us and He gives us a Bible and He gives us His Holy Spirit and He gives us the church and He gives us the right of access to His throne. He gives us all we need in order to build and to battle. The problem is we don't take advantage of all that He's given us. Amen. Oh, we won't half come to church. We got other things to do. We can't come on Sunday night because we fell asleep. Now we can't get up and feel like we can come to church. And there's a new 60 minutes on, and then the ball game follows that. So, you know, and then Wednesday night, well, we're just tired. We worked all week. We're tired. And, I know I should have read my Bible yesterday morning, but I was busy all day, and work got complicated and this and that. And the next thing you know, we're going from Sunday morning to Sunday morning, and there's no building going on in our lives, and when we understand why, can't understand why we're having such a hard time. Amen. Building and battling. Turn over to 1 Corinthians 3. 1 Corinthians 3. And look at verse 9, 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 9. Let me show you how Christ builds. Let me show you how this works. Look at verse 9. He said, for we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's what? Building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundations can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So here's the foundation of Christ. That's your salvation. But notice that Christ builds, but He builds through us. Christ uses us. And that is why He turned to this crowd that was following Him. And He laid down these three harsh conditions. He is making sure that those who choose to follow Him realize that the battle is going to take hard work, or the building is going to take hard work, and the battle is going to be a serious conflict. He wants to make sure that those who sign up realize what they're getting themselves into. He doesn't want us to get halfway into the project and then just pull up and quit on Him. So building and battling. Second thing I want you to notice here, I want you to notice that because There are forces that would prevent us from building. We must be prepared to battle. Do you think, folks, look, let's say that this right here, let's say that right here is the day of your salvation. And then over here is the day when you go in to heaven for all eternity. This is your Christian life right here. Now, do you think for a minute that the devil is going to let you get from here to there without constant conflict? Of course not. You say, well, I'm already saved. There's nothing he can do to me. Oh, yes, there is. You're already saved. There's nothing he can do so far as where you're going to spend eternity. But if he can get you here all the way to there to be a worldly, carnal, in and out, up and down, cold and hot Christian, hey, he will do it. You see, if you're not leading someone else to Christ, he's happy. And so the battle is on, so you won't lead anybody else to Christ. There are forces that would prevent us from building, so we must be prepared to battle. You see, folks, the devil hates soul winning. He hates it. He hates the bus ministry. He hates music that honors and glorifies Christ. He hates preaching, hates it with a passion. He hates the King James Bible. He hates the invitation. And if you go to a church where you've got soul winning going on, the bus ministry going on, music that honors and glorifies Christ instead of the musician or the singer, if there's preaching going on, if there's the King James Bible in that church, if an invitation is given, man, there's going to be a battle. Because the devil doesn't like any of those. So the Christian life is constantly building and battling. We have a picture of this in the book of Nehemiah. Do you remember that? The king said to Nehemiah, you go back and build the wall. That was God. That was God doing that. So Nehemiah took a bunch of folks back to Jerusalem and they started building the walls. By the way, you can read about this in the book of Nehemiah chapter 3 and chapter 4. I would encourage you to do that. And so Nehemiah gets this group of people and they go back. And as soon as they started working on the wall, here comes a couple of critics. One's name was Sanballat. The other's name was Tobiah. And they start just yakking, just criticizing everything that Nehemiah and his boys were doing. Listen, folks, anytime you go to build anything for God, you mark it down. I'm talking whether it's a life. I'm talking about whether it's a family. I'm talking about building a church or a Sunday school class or a bus route. Anytime you go to build anything for God, mark it down. The devil is going to send some old moss back, never won a soul to Christ, never been to the altar, long-tongued, worldly, social drinking, lottery playing Sunday school teacher to criticize what you're doing. Mark it down. That's what Sanballat and Tobiah were all about. And so old Nehemiah said, we gotta do something here. And they said, well, what do you want to do? We can't stop building. They said, oh, no, we came to build. We came to build the wall. We're going to build the wall. And so what they did was they posted a watchman. They had a guy standing over here watching for Sanballat and Tobiah. And so Nehemiah and his bunch, they're over here building a wall. And while they're building the wall, the watchman says, oop, enemy's coming. He blows the warning. And so they drop their tools and they pull out their swords and they ran and they fought. And when they chased the enemy away, they put their swords up and they went back to building. Building and battling. And you're going to have to do that in the Christian life. You see, the devil doesn't want you growing. The devil doesn't want you involved in the church. The devil doesn't want you singing in the choir. The devil doesn't want you in the bus ministry. The devil doesn't want you to follow the Lord in believers' baptism. The devil doesn't want you joining the church. Oh, you might build in your Christian life if you do. And so anytime there's building, you mark it down. You got to be prepared for battling. The minute you do anything for God, the devil shows up. Mark it down. Right now, all over America, there are, I'm talking about churches like ours, independent, fundamental, Bible-believing, gospel-preaching, soul-winning churches. They're churches just like ours, and they're doing away with their bus ministries. You see, some Sanballat stood up at the business meeting last year and said, these buses are costing us a fortune. That's what Sanballat said. There are churches all over America, and they're doing away with their soul-winning programs. Some Tobiah stood up at the business meeting and complained about these bus kids and how they're tearing up the new auditorium. And so they decided the soul winning's got to go. And there are churches all over America, and nobody ever gets saved anymore. In other words, there's no building going on. There's no building going on. And you know, the devil's happy with that. All of a sudden, when the building stops, then the devil lightens up. When the building stops, the devil cuts back on the pressure. But nobody's getting saved. You say, well, things are going pretty good for us at the church. That's because the devil is happy that you aren't building anything or anybody. And so he's backed off. He's got you where he wants you. The battles begin when the building begins. Why not after this week, what we've learned in the revival meeting and what you're hearing this morning, why not just go out of here today and make up your mind that you are going to start building? Just make up your mind. I'm going to church. I'm going to join the church. I'm going to get involved in the church. I'm going to get in my Bible every day, and I'm going to start building as a Christian. But you be ready now, because if you're going to build, the battles are going to come. Building and battling. You cannot build without making the devil mad. So you're going to have to get ready to stand. Get ready to fight. Because if you start building, he's coming after you. But the point is, the Lord needs some followers who will keep building until the building is done and keep battling until the war is won. And then the last thing, number three, I want you to notice from our text, Christ is much more concerned about quality than he is quantity. Now, don't misunderstand me. I fully understand. I know that the Lord is concerned about every soul. I understand that. And I'm not saying that he's not. I know the Bible says God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Please, I understand that. But when seeking fellow laborers, our Lord is much more concerned about quality than he is quantity. I don't know how it is at other churches, but I do know how it is here. And I can tell you that in 20 years, my stand on certain issues has thinned the herd. It has thinned the herd. But I'm not compromising on the Bible. I'm just not going to do it. I'm not compromising on drinking liquor. I'm not compromising on soul winning. I'm not compromising on biblical music. I'm not compromising on a host of other issues. And because I haven't, that has thinned the herd. In 20 years, Those weak-kneed, lily-livered, soft-shelled, wine-bibbing, PC-minded little Christianettes that smoke cigarettes and drive Corvettes have pretty much left us and then gone and identified with what they are. And that's fine. If you're not with us, move on. Go find somebody that you can identify with. But you know, the end result of that is that we have today at the Church of the Open Door what I think are some of the finest, soul-winning, loving, giving, quality Christians that are anywhere in the East. I believe that with all my heart. Dr. Smith commented on that to me this week. You know, Dr. Smith was here for 17 and a half years before I came, and I've been here 20 and a half years. And Dr. Smith and I were driving down to the ball game the other day, which they got plastered in, by the way. It was his fault, not mine. Oh, I got some cruel text from somebody who swings his arms like this. Cruel text. Dr. Smith said to me, he said, Brother Norris, I'm telling you, those are some of the finest Christians. And he said, I can tell. I go around the country. I can tell. You can just tell. Amen. Quality. Why? Because some folks have been doing some building through the years. That's why. They've been doing some building through the years. The quality of servants is what the Lord is after. God has given us some of the finest, loving, giving, compassionate, soul-conscious, dedicated people in the whole Mid-Atlantic area. All these soul winners, trained soul winners who could sit down with anybody and take a Bible and show them how to be saved. Praise the Lord for that. We need to be training quality soul winners. Why? Because of building and battling. You cannot build a better building in the life of a Christian than to teach them how to win somebody else to Jesus and then just turn them loose on the community. Battling the devil where he rules. Build and then take the fight to the devil where he has a stronghold. Don't forget, folks, in Matthew 16:18, Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Hey, you don't attack with gates. You defend with gates. So we take our soul winners and we send them out to attack the devil's strongholds. We go with our buses into these apartment complexes where the devil has destroyed families and captured hearts. And then with the gospel, we tear down strongholds and the defenses that the devil has created. Oh, build. And then go on the defense or on the offense against the devil's defenses. Do we not see this principle in the story of Gideon? Isn't it amazing how God gives us examples? And we have an example of what the New Testament church is all about in the story of Gideon. Gideon, one of the judges, he had an army of 32,000 men and he had to go against the huge army of the Midianites. But God told Gideon, said, Gideon, wait a minute, 32,000, that's too many. Gideon probably said, what? Are you kidding me? Do you know how many men they got? Too many. Can God not use 32,000 men? Folks, we're talking about quality here. We're not talking about quantity. Don't forget who God is. Can God not use 32,000? Well, that depends on the quality of the 32,000. So God told Gideon to whittle it down. And he said, you go tell anybody who's afraid they can go home. So Gideon did. And in typical Baptist fashion, 22,000 said, amen. They turned around and went home. Can you imagine that? 22,000 people walked away. I bet they were hustling too. And then God looked at the 10,000 that was left, and God said, you know, Gideon, you still got too many. Here's what I want you to do. He said, God said, take them down to the water, but watch how they drink. And so they went down to the water, and 9,700 of them just fell face first into the water. You say, well, what was wrong with that? Well, if they got their faces down in the water, they're not watching for the enemy. But 300 out of the 10,000, they went over, bent the knee, took the water in their hands and brought it to their mouths so they could keep their eyes out watching for the enemy. And God said, now you tell that 9,700 to go home, and I'm going to use the quality 300 that you got left. And they went out and won a great battle for the Lord. The sword of the Lord and of Gideon. Amen. Boy, when you got the sword of the Lord on your side, whew, doesn't get any better than that. With 300 quality men, God destroyed the entire Midianite army. And folks, I just think we need to understand building and battling. That's what the Christian life is all about. Are you building? You say, well, I go to church here every Sunday. But are you building? Are you reading your Bible through the week and getting to know the God of this Bible? Are you a member of the church? Are you a worker? You know, we got some seats up here in the choir. We could sure use your help. You say, well, I don't know if I could do very much, but you could do something. Building and battling. Building and battling. Oh, I just somewhere along the way, folks, we have lost this concept. Building and battling, that's God's plan. Somewhere along the way, we have gotten away from being fishers of men and instead have become keepers of the aquarium. Church today has become, entertain me. Make me laugh, preacher. Make me feel good, preacher. Hey, preacher, fix my children. Well, I'm sorry you brought them into the world. And then you expect me to fix them? That's not my job. Building and battling, they're your job. Preacher, fix my sorry husband. You married him. And yet you want me to fix him? Fix me, preacher. You see, we want nothing to do with building and battling. We want everybody to do for us. And that's not what serving the Lord is all about. It's about building and battling. Are you building in your Christian life? I wish we would just all sit here and say, Lord, I love you more than even my own parents. I love you more than my own life. Lord, I'm willing to carry the cross for you. Lord, I'll forsake all and I'll follow you. I will build until the building is built, and I will battle until the battle is won. When it comes to your plan, God, count me in. When it comes to the building and battling, Lord, sign me up. If you're looking for a few good men, Lord, I want to enlist. And let's build and let's battle until the building is built and the battle is won.